love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same.
Much better. God bless you. We want to welcome you here this morning. Glad you'd be with us. Glad to see some new faces with us. We want you to know that you're welcome here at Mallory Church of God. We appreciate you coming, and you are wanted here. Believe it or not, you are wanted here. That being said, one of the things that I've, when I witness to people and get an opportunity to try to invite them outside of church, I know one thing that people hate when it comes to coming to a church the first time, and if you know what I'm talking about, I need you to give me amen after I share this, okay? But one of the things that I always struggled with, especially Tara struggled with, was the first time you showed up in a place, how regardless of what was going on, everybody turned around and looked at you as you walked in. Does it ever make you feel a little uncomfortable? Yeah. Absolutely. That being said, we want you to know that We do our best not to do that because we want you to feel welcome. We go of our way to make you feel welcome because you are wanted here at the church. I'm looking forward to a good time in the Lord. Can I get some ushers up here real quick? And we're going to take up the offering. But before I do, we got a few announcements, okay? We got a few announcements. We want you to come and join us Wednesday night here at the church, okay? Wednesday night, as we shared a little bit in Sunday school, trying to tie in a little bit from what Michael shared with us this morning. But we got a new 4-week little group teaching on Wednesday night taking place that the Lord put on my heart yesterday. And it's literally, we're going to start. If you like prophecy, you'll like this. Okay? But here's the thing. Prophecy is not always tied. Prophecy is not always exclusively about the book of Revelation. We'll touch on a little bit. But we're going to start all the way from the Garden of Eden and go all the way to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and begin to realize Jesus was the only one that could have done what he done. How many of you about ready for Easter? Amen? So that's what we're going to do starting on Wednesday night, Lord willing, 6:30. So please come and be with us. 6:30 Wednesday here at the church. Also, in case I haven't got touch with you, altar team, there'll be a meeting here at the church tomorrow night at 6:30. Any and all people that's in the altar team, please be here tomorrow at 6:30. Got something very important we want to go over, okay? Very, very important, okay? Kind of change something big in the church, okay? So we want you to do your best to come and be with us. I think that's about all the announcements.
Claypool,
thank you. That was not. Tonight, look, I worked my way back from Wednesday to Monday. Now, tonight at 7 o'clock at Claypool Church down the road here, Pastor Walker will be preaching, and this beautiful choir will be singing, okay? We want you to come and be a part of it. We always have a good time in the Lord when we get together. Almost kind of look at them as a sister church, if you will. So we want you to know that you're welcome to come be with us. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Now, is that all the announcements? If so, I'm going to ask everybody to stand to their feet. We're going to take up the offering. I'm going to ask Paige to say the blessing over the offering. Anything that you give to the Lord, God is going to bless it. So anything you give is much appreciated as we use it to minister to other people, outreach, and things of that nature. So we want you to know that it goes to a good usage, good stewards with what God gives us. But now, who's ready to worship? Amen. I've been ready for it since Wednesday, okay? So listen, we want you to just put all your cares aside. And listen, here's what I've always said. The Bible says, stir up the gift that's in you. It's not the choir's job to get you stirred up. It ain't the Lord's job to get you stirred up. It's your job. Amen? So stir up the gift. Let's lift our hands and let's worship Jesus.
Strength in the battle, I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, my hope is secure. Well, I've got joy cause I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, now I dance on solid ground. All he's done to save, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He bore all of my burdens. Yeah, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise up out of that grave. He is all of my worship, all the honor and praise. Well, I've got joy cause I've got Jesus. Oh, he gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah. Everything has changed. Oh, I've got joy. Yeah, I've got joy. You gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on the ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go, even in the desert. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Darkest nights, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Been faithful. been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you give him some praise here this morning?
Put that next song on. I feel led to do something. I've never done this before ever in my life, but I want you folks to bear with me. That song is very, very, very dear to me, and most of you here know the why to that, and how the Lord touched my grandson.
That's right. Yeah.
At least it brought him back from the brink of death. That's not why I want to speak this morning, because I feel led of the Lord to do so. My word is not for Luke. Because you have been faithful over the small things. Lord Salmons, know that. I ordained him. I have called him. And my hand is upon him.
Yeah.
Sorrow may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
Mason has never left God's hand. The Lord says to you, he is my son. And my chosen vessel.
Hallelujah.
I will not leave you in this moment of need, says the Lord.
was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore.
A hand clap of praise. As Pastor Sean comes to speak. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen, amen. God is so good. Can we take just 30 more seconds to worship him this morning and raise your hands? And let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we're so grateful, Lord. God, thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning, oh God. We thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we glorify you. Magnify you, Father. Put you above all, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, if you could do me one favor here, and I'll ask you to stand up this time and one more, then I'll leave you alone. Stand up and look around and see what God is doing and go, man, it is good to see what God's doing. Shake two or three hands there and tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Tell them how good they look, even if you have to lie. The Lord will forgive you this one time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, it's just so good to see God move the way that he is. And what I mean by that is not necessarily just, you know, the church growing and all those good things, but how the church is growing. And I see individuals coming up praying and encouraging one another. And I think, man, that's exactly how God designed it. It's not about a show and a presentation and one person up here doing and everybody else sort of spectating, if you will. It's not a spectator sport. It's a participator sport, right? And it's so good to see everybody involved in that and super excited about a lot of things at the church. Number one, we're going to have to get some parking somewhere. People know me sort of know that I harp on that, but we're going to have to do something about some parking there. And, man, that's a good thing, right? I remember when I paved out back here, we decided to pave out back. Somebody actually said, how much are you going to pave? I said, until the Lord stop sending us people. That's the only way I know when he's done is when I've outdone him by one, right? So when you run out of something, you do more, and then you go, okay, God, if you want to fill it, there it is, right? And so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to expect God to just meet that need, if you will, when the time comes. And it's an exciting time, I think, to be serving the Lord, especially here at the church. I was thinking about Matt back there. He was telling me that he was talking to one of his neighbors down in Chapmanville about the church, and he said, where you go to church at? He said, Mallory Church of God of Man. And he said, his neighbor said, man, it's a long drive. He said, it's worth it. I thought, man, that's pretty good there. Y'all have heard me say it's a poor frog that can't croak for his own pond, and so it's good to know. I once heard the statement that a church alive is worth the drive. And so so thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with us today. We're going to sort of wrap up our two-part series here on the idea of go. And we talked about that last week and sort of really just meddled a little bit and rant and raved and sort of spewed a little bit. And Dave said, man, I don't know what happened, but we didn't get any of that last week for the live to put on the website. I said, it's probably a good thing. It probably made a lot of churches mad, I figure. So I'm glad that they didn't grab that one, to be honest with you. But if you want to stand with us for the reading of God's Word, we're going to start out actually where we began last week, and that is in Luke chapter 14, and we're going to be reading out of the ESV here. And what we was talking about was the idea of go. And I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to read Jonah, and you're going to think, you know where I'm going, but you may not. While you're getting there, while they're getting it on the screen, let me remind everybody, I was, full disclosure, I was outside counting spots when Ted was doing the announcement, so I don't know if he mentioned it or not, but tonight at Claypool, I think is it at 7? 7 o'clock, I'll be preaching, the choir will be singing. We always enjoy going down there. It's one of those things that we do to really build unity in our community. And many of you who know this know that I'm really big on that, trying to get together with other churches. And the first service they had down there, we actually canceled service here, went down there, took our own chairs, which I thought was super cool, went in, sat down, had service with them. And so every time that we can fellowship together, I like to do that. So I'm going to encourage you, if you will, come out and be with us tonight down there. I think it'll be a good time in the Lord. But if you want to look with us in the book of Luke here, chapter 14, Jesus teaches this parable, and we heard this last week, right? And I made the statement that a lot of times we count the chairs that have people in them, but I'd imagine if God had a counting system, it would be the chairs that nobody's in, because I think God's just as concerned, if not more, about the empty chairs than he is the full chairs, which, by the way, a lot of ours was empty last week. Jeffrey and Paige escaped and took everybody down to Tennessee. And I texted Jeffrey. I said, "You make sure everybody that went with you knows that we missed them." I said, "It was like a, it's like when Emily and Michael left the house and it was an empty nest. It was real quiet." And I said, "It's super quiet through there." Even when I was trying to get ready for the message, I thought, "Man, I missed that bunch, and I miss all the hoopla of everything that was going on." I think we had 30 some down there, and it's good to have them back this morning. I know they had a good time down there. But we were talking about how God is concerned with that empty chair and the idea of go, and that we've got a mandate not just to go, but to make disciples as we do. And so he taught this parable. He said, "A certain man made a great supper," and this is out of the ESV, and he bade men in, "and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. They were all one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it. I pray that you excuse me.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Excuse me.' And another said, 'I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes and cities, and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done that you commanded, and yet there's room.' The Lord said unto the servant, 'Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.'" You can be seated if you wish. And I'm going to read to you Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and then 3, 1 through 3 in just a second. But we see, as we opened this parable up last week, and we sort of really concentrated on the idea of going into the highways and byways and compelling them to come in, that God really doesn't have some kind of set idea for someone to come in, but he asked them to, if you will, and I don't like this phrase all the time, but sort of come as you are with a willing heart to be changed, and you can see great things happen in your life. And so the idea was, we need to go. We need to make sure that we understand that the relationship with Jesus is not just us four and no more, but that relationship is open to each and every one, and that all of us should be disciple makers. We should all be those that go out and witness and help. And many times you see in the scripture, even you'll see discipleship happening even before salvation takes place. Listen, you can actually disciple people before they get saved. You can talk to them about the Lord and lead them in that direction, and we're called to do that. And so we sort of concentrate on the fact that many of them that were told to come, they had the excuses, right? They had the excuses why they couldn't make it, all right? So we're going to look at a fella today that I guess he had a good excuse to not do what God had commanded him to do. And I feel like that's us a lot of times in the world that we live in. And listen, we're going to find out that Jonah had his reasons. You and I have our reasons why sometimes we don't always do what God has called us to do or what God has beckoned us to do. Let me just see a show of hands here so we know we're all in the same boat. And I'm going to raise 2 hands ahead of time to let you know that I've been there. How many of you ever heard God sort of speak to you, unction you to do something, and you just don't do it? So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But I'm so thankful that God has a way of giving us second chances. And that's what we're going to talk about today is, if you're sort of caught in the belly of the great fish this morning, God's a God of second chances. And I've got a story to illustrate here to open up with about a pastor friend of mine, actually. Some of you know, and some of you helped me pray this, and I want to share this testimony of his. He called me, and I can't remember how long ago this was when this all began, and it was a weird time because I was going through some of the same things he was in the ministry. So he called me, and he was like, "Man, I think I can get out." I said, "Do you?" He said, "Yep." And so he said, "Here's my plan," and he laid this plan out that I can do this, 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 and this, and then within 9 months to a year or whatever, I can get out of the ministry. And I said, that's a great plan, but have you prayed about that? You know, great plan, but what's God think about that? Well, I could tell you that he hadn't been praying for God's direction, right? He had a straight line of where he was going, and he really wasn't concerned about God's direction in his life at the moment. And I made the statement, you might want to be careful, because with your calling, if you get too far off the path, God's got a way. You know that shepherd's stick had a hook in it? And so he could go out and hook that sheep by the neck and jerk him back in line. I said, "Man, don't get yourself in a place where you get jerked back in line." And so help me, about a week later, he called me and he said, "I'm going to kill you." So what is it? He said, "How you been praying?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Man, you ain't going to believe this." He said, "I was running the day after we talked and almost got mauled completely by a wild dog." Like, he tore me up. Thought I was going to have to go to the doctor and everything. And I said, "You reckon that's a warning shot?" Well, he didn't heed that warning. Some of you know this story. He didn't heed that warning, so he started on this path. And I made the statement, "I hope you don't have to lose people along the way. I hope you don't lose your family over this," because I tried to warn him. But when we got our mind made up, we usually got our mind made up. Wasn't too much longer after that, his wife told him she didn't love him anymore. Wanted a divorce. Woke him up. He renewed his relationship with God. How many of you know God's got a way of doing that? So let me explain that to you. When this happens, he just got swallowed by the great fish. And you get swallowed by that great fish, and you're down there with the seaweed and the other dead fish and smelling that, and in a bad place, in a dark place, that's usually when you begin to pray and cry out to God. And he got this epiphany that he needed God in his life, and the plan and purpose of God was greater than his plan for his life, and he turned it around. But guess what? He had to reap what he had sown. Didn't change how she felt. And it's probably 2 years, I guess, maybe, if I'm thinking about right. And we would talk almost every day on the phone, and I would encourage him, and he'd say, "Man, it's over." And I'd say, "Listen, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to have faith for you even when you don't have faith." And I said, "I believe God is something up to something bigger than what you could even imagine." I said, "One of these days when it's all over, you're going to ask, you and her are going to ask each other, how did we get here? And God's going to use what you're going through for a bigger purpose." 2 years go by. A lot of details to the story there. I mean, we're this close to totally going separate ways, other marriages, the whole nine yards. And 20 minutes before this is about to happen, God brings it back together. He calls me one Saturday going to a funeral. He said, "I wanted you to know I got married yesterday." I said, "Get out of here." He said, "Yep." He said, "You know who I married?" Said her name. Is his first wife, his only wife. He said, "I never would have dreamed that God would do what you talked about him doing." And he said, "You know what was said?" I said, "What?" Said, "We was laying there," and she said, "How in the world did we get here?" He said, I said immediately, "Man, Sean said we would say those very same words." And I share that with you to share with you the idea that you can have a straight line plan in life. You can lay your best laid plans out, You can say, here's where I'm going to go. But I'm going to tell you something. God's greater than all those plans that you've got. You may have a plan, but he's got a purpose in your life. And he doesn't care to interrupt your life, change your course. I thought about that show on ESPN I used to watch all the time when I was eat up with sports. Pardon the interruption, right? Because they had so many minutes to talk and then the other one go back and forth and sort of like an interruption thing. I think God sometimes would say, pardon the interruption here, Ray, but where you're headed, I'm going to shift directions on you here. And that's what happened to Jonah. We know what happened to Jonah when the word of the Lord came unto him and said, go down to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, he didn't go there, he went to Tarshish. Look what it says, from the presence of the Lord. Hindsight, looking back, how foolish is that? I'm going to get on this ship, and I'm just going to run from the presence of the Lord. Jonah didn't come out outright and disagree with God. He just said, listen, what you want me to do sounds all right, but let's let somebody else do it. I'm going to get on this ship, and I'm going to go as far away as I can from where you call me to be. It's amazing to me how in the body of Christ so many times we think it's great when God does things, but we want somebody else to do them. People tell me all the time, I feel like the Lord wants to blah, blah, blah. So you need to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, back up. The Lord gave it to you, not me. And that's not laziness. That's not anything else. That's me saying the Lord gave it to you, not me. But ain't it amazing how the Lord dawns on us and gives us great ideas for everybody else to do? Ain't that amazing how it happens? So I'll be honest with you. Jonah didn't like Nineveh. They were the arch enemy of Israel at the time and destroyed. A lot of legend says that they actually killed his mom and dad is why he didn't want to go there and preach. I don't know that, but I know this. They were known for their cruelty. They were known to be an enemy of Israel, and so when he was called to go there, Jonah might have even thought, that's a good idea, but won't you call somebody else? So he gets on the ship going the opposite direction. And I love how it says, so he paid the fare. We would assume that. The Bible says he paid the fare. It's almost like it draws your attention to the fact that he had a free ticket going to where God wanted him, and yet it cost him something, and we know what it's going to cost him here in a few. But he had to pay to get out of the will of God. Can I tell you something? When you get out of the will of God, you'll have to pay. And as the old saying is about sin, it'll take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. He paid all right. He paid a great price, and he went down to Tarshish, and again it says, from the presence of the Lord. But we know what happens when he gets on the ship. And I'll tell you this, Jonah had a straight line he had for his life, and it didn't include what God had called him to do. And listen, Jonah had his reasons. First thing I want to bring up to you, is Jonah had his reasons. I think he didn't like Nineveh. I think he was afraid. I think he had something against them. I think the Bible says, don't the Bible say, walk for 3 days to get into the middle of the city? That's how big the city was. Jonah had his reasons for avoiding what God was calling him to do. I want you to recognize this morning that me, God, everybody realizes that you've got reasons for not doing sometimes what God calls you to do. I ain't saying they're great reasons, but God's saying this, I know you got reasons, but we get this idea, this straight line in life. We draw it out. I'm going to do this, that. I was laughing because it sort of was coming to me there Friday. Me and Kelly went out to eat at, let me say it this way. Me and Kelly and Josh and Kayla went out to eat, and they watched me and Kelly eat. They didn't eat a lot. I got about 3/4 of the way through the chips, and I thought, Kayla ain't eating none of these chips, and I realized why. She was afraid. She was fearful. She saw me going at those chips, and she thought, I'm not going to interfere with what's going on here. And so I backed off a little bit, even left a little bit of my cheese, and that don't happen. It's how much I wanted them to enjoy the chips with me. But we went to dinner, and they watched me and Kelly eat. They got to talking. Kelly said, yeah, I had a plan for my life. I was going to go boom, 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 boom. And this guy asked me to marry him. Right? Josh was like, yeah, I had my plan. I was going into the Army and met her. And I thought, yet here we are in ministry, seeing God do great things. Isn't it amazing that when you just draw out this straight line, you go, here's where I want to be in life. God goes, hey, that's a great thought, but here's where I need you to be. And he has a way of intervening and bringing about those things that we need to do. And so we find Jonah here trying to flee from the presence of God. He had his reasons. How many of you know that God is more concerned about our character than he is your comfort? I'm going to say this again. He's more concerned about your character, your calling, than it is your comfort. A lot of times we try to find this place where we're comfortable and we just cruise. God ain't into that. God doesn't have cruise control. Believe you me, I've tried time and time again in my life to get out of even what I'm doing today. Kelly says I shouldn't talk about that, but I can't help it. I try. I've tried before. But I'm going to tell you something I've never done is when God gave me a red light, I've never run through that red light. I've waited for the green light, and here's what I find is you can think that you need to be out of the way. You can think that you need to be somewhere else. You can think that you can put it on cruise control. But when it comes down to it, if God has got a call and a purpose on your life, you're never going to be happy doing anything else except where God has called you to be, doing what God has called you to do. And you can look, and you can fight, and you can try to flee from the presence of God. But how many of you know that when you're fleeing from the presence of God, God's presence is following after you, and to take that big hook and jerk you back on the path that he has for you. So Jonah tries to run. I think Jonah liked God's plan in a sense, but he just didn't want to be involved in it. So the Bible says that he got on this ship going to Tarshish. That word actually means topaz. In the scripture, you'll see where that's all about beauty, majesty, riches. Sound like a good place to go. I'm going to go to the land of riches, right? I remember another fella by the name of Lot. Y'all remember him? They got into it, and Abraham said, listen, we shouldn't fight you. Pick where you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. That's the kind of guy Abraham was. You pick, and I'll take what's left. Lot looks out, burning, and he sees your ass on the other side, and he goes, I want to go that way. I can't tell you how many times that those old sayings came from the scripture, in my opinion. The grass ain't always greener. You usually know what's under green grass, don't you? Septic system. Grass ain't always greener on the other side. And sometimes the grass may be greener, but the cows may be meaner. You know what I'm saying? It may be look good, and I mean, you think that's the place to go. But when you get there, you realize you done picked wrong. It's what happened to Lot. That's what happened to Jonah. He got on there trying to flee, and God sends a storm. And we see that storm as judgment, but I'm going to tell you what that storm really was. It was God's mercy. It was God's mercy. It was him trying to get a hold of Jonah before he went too far. The young man that I talked about earlier, I'm thankful for all those things that happened in his life. You know why? It wasn't judgment. It was God's way of saying, you're going the wrong way and you need to turn around. That storm was not judgment as much as it was the grace and the mercy of God to steer Jonah back on the right path. So if you've ever been in a situation going the wrong way and God does something to intervene and interrupt and you think, uh-oh, he's bringing judgment on me, thank God he loves you, because if he loves you, he chastens you and he will chastise you because you are a child of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those times where God fires the warning shot, where we're going down the wrong direction, not doing maybe what God's called us to do, not maybe having the idea of go and make disciples. Sometimes we become selfish, self-centered. And I mean this in every context imaginable. When I talk about it, I talk about being able to just do my own thing and live my life and all these other things and not have the weight of ministry. But there's so many other ways that you can apply this to your life, that God will call you to do certain things, be certain things. And it's so easy to turn a blind eye to that and say, no, that's not the purpose I have for my life. It was this. I think about Dr. Kathleen Runyon, who is that missionary that we support for the nation of Israel, and how she left everything, and now she lives in Israel 9 months of the year, and she's over there even now with the fighting going on. Every time fighting goes off over there, I text, say, hey, how you doing? She always texts back, we're doing great. God is good. She comes here once a year, and it always amazes me what God does through her. But you know what? If there was ever a person that could have had a Jonah moment that said, hey, I don't want to go that way, it'd probably been her. And God said, I want you to move from Kentucky and go to Israel and live and help bring home Israelites back to the land of Israel. I'm sure that wasn't in her playbook when she was 18 years old. But I'm so thankful that God's got a purpose that's greater than just their little measly plan. And when things go wrong, I don't want you to think it's as much judgment as it is God saying this. I'm going to use this storm in your life to keep you from going too far the wrong way. We know what happens, right? Great illustration of Jesus. He sacrificed himself so others could live. When they asked what was going on, Jonah realized he knew. I love that part of the story. They said, what's going on here? Somebody's upset the gods or something. Jonah sort of has to own up, don't he? Think in the back of Jonah's mind, Jonah knows this ain't God's. There ain't but one God can do this, and I serve him. Jonah said, I'm the reason this is going on. Can you imagine being on a ship full of people and God disrupting that whole ship and people going, what is going on? God's trying to get somebody's attention. God's trying to do something, and Jonah step up and say, I'm the guy he's looking for. That's amazing to me, how that God would disrupt a whole ship full of people for one person. Reminds me of the 99 and the one, how God will go out of his way to go and get you whenever you're going down the wrong path. He'll shake up other people alongside you if he has to. But Jonah said, I'm the man that God's looking for. Listen, it wasn't for the right reasons, but can I tell you how much love and compassion and predestination and all those other things that we could tie into Jonah stepping up and going, listen, God's doing this for me. When you go through things in life, you need to understand it's for your good. Romans 8:28, that's a promise we can claim. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So when you go through something that doesn't fit your comfort level, it's God trying to conform you to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't complain about that. We should recognize that, be grateful for that, because God is willing to do that for me. Are y'all with me? God sends the storm. It's really a rescue mission. They throw him overboard, and we know what happens. One of the first ever recorded come to Jesus meetings. When he's in the belly of the great fish. Heard a joke one time about a little girl in a schoolroom. They were talking about whales. And listen, before you get all theological on me, I know it wasn't a whale. But to kids, it was a whale. I don't know what kind of great fish it was. But in the joke, it's a whale. So don't message me and go, that ain't right, brother. I ain't saying it's right. But the joke says that the teacher's talking about whales, right? Little girl says, oh, I know a cool story about a whale. And she said, what's that? I said, in the Bible, Jonah was thrown off a ship, and a whale swallowed him, and he lived in there for 3 days. And she said, no, that's impossible. She said, no, it's true. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about it. And she said, well, while Jonah's in hell, she said, then you can ask him about it. That ain't pretty, is it? That was her perception, though, right? You don't think God can do that? You probably ain't going to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, God's got a way of having those come to Jesus meetings. You can be thinking, man, I'm going to hit cruise control, going to be comfortable, whatever. You can do the same thing for years or whatever it is and sort of get in this mode. And God's got a way of shaking you up. I remember, and I'm assuming he would be okay with this, using it for the glory of God. But I grew up under Pastor James Bostic, Bruno Church of God. He was there for quite a while. That's who I grew up listening to, and he probably made impact on me that he don't realize. When I was there one Sunday night to see Kelly, I didn't care what he said. I was looking at Kelly. waiting for Sunday service to be over so Joan and Arlen would go to the Dairy Queen or wherever they went, and she could come to the fence and I could come to the fence. And every car would come up the road, I'd go, whew. I'd have to act like I was walking home, right? We used to do that stuff too. I wasn't there to listen to him, but I'm going to tell you something more. God opened up my ears one night and he said, it don't matter how good old boy you are, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. So many things he said impacted me, and he didn't even realize. I didn't even realize it. I was there for another reason. But God had a purpose for that. But he told the story about when he left Bruno. He said, they're asleep in China. Can't wake them up. And he said, I said in my mind, I'm going to go back toward Beckley, and I'm going to hit cruise control. I'm just going to settle in, and I'm going to make it to retirement. When he got over there, he tried to do that, and you know what happened? He had a bout with his health. And he recognized it was God's way of saying, no, you're not going to just sit down to do nothing. I didn't just bring you here to sit and do nothing. I brought you here for a reason. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. If you're going through something, you wonder why you're going through it, all these other things, why you're here this morning. Let me restate the fact that God has a purpose for your life. That's why people are miserable in the world that we live in now. They get up, they go to work, they come home, they go to bed, rinse and repeat, live for the weekend for a day or so, and then they get up and do it all again, and we wonder why they're zombies and why they just don't have any joy in their life. It's because they don't realize that they've got a greater purpose. I don't care who you are, how far away from God you think you are, how close you think you are to God. You've got a reason and a purpose that God put you on this planet, and it may just be coming in and raising your hands and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. But I'm going to tell you, whatever it is God has called you to do, do it to the fullest that you can, because that is where you're going to find joy. That is going to be where you find contentment. That's going to be where you find peace of mind. Give him a hand clap of praise. So when we're running from the idea of what God's called us to do, that idea of go, we find ourselves in the middle of the great fish or a storm, whatever it is that God's using. So grateful, so thankful that God gives us a second chance. In chapter 3, verse 1, now this is after Jonah decided to pray out to God, right? Let me just say this, and I'm not going to meddle too much. I'll just move on here. A lot of times when we find ourselves in that place, we complain. We grumble. We mumble. God's not wanting you to grumble and complain. He's wanting you to pray. And the Bible says Jonah began to pray. He began to cry out to God. And when he did, chapter 3, and I want you to listen to how this is stated. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Everybody say that with me. The second time. I love how it goes out of its way to say the second time. It's almost like, don't forget, he was originally called. Aren't you glad for Jonah's sake that God didn't go, well, leave him be. I'll find somebody else. Are y'all with me? I've been in places where I didn't want to do what I was doing neither, and I'm so thankful God didn't say, well, go ahead and do it, and I'll find somebody else, and then I find myself all the way on the other side where I don't need to be. But God had a way of getting to him, and the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him the second time. It was a second chance to make things right. How many of you know that God's got a way of putting you in positions, much like the mafia, right? He made him an offer he could not refuse. What's he going to do if he refuses? He's in the belly of a great fish. God says, hey, I'm going to make you this proposition again. Let's make a deal. You go do what I want you to do, and I'll get you out of here. I'd imagine the best decision Jonah could made was he look around and went, it stinks in here. Deal. And God causes that great fish to vomit him up. Puke him up on dry land. And he goes and does his thing that God called him to do. I'm here to tell you, folks, God loves you enough. He cares for you enough to get you into a place where he can make you an offer that you can't refuse, to get you where you need to go so he can create something in you and do something for you to mature you. And a lot of times we look at this and there's nothing wrong with it about what God done in the city of Nineveh and how Nineveh repented and God saved those people, the animals, the whole nine yards. And we see where old Jonah gets mad, right? He was there preaching, but he was preaching hell hoping they went. He didn't want them to be saved. It's amazing to me that after God's second time coming to him and saying, going to preach, he's got this attitude. I'll go do it. But I hope it don't work. And even in that, I think we miss that. Jonah does it, but he does it begrudgingly. I'll go do it, but I sure hope it doesn't work. It works. We know what happens. He gets mad. God uses that to show him how precious life is and that salvation belongs to everyone. I need you to understand that it's just not about God doing this and that and judgment and bringing you to this place to make you to do something. God's worried about your character. His job is to make sure that everything that happens to you conforms you to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And outside of that, he could care less what happens. What his focus is conforming you and I to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes that is rebellion. Sometimes that is catching you in the middle of that rebellion, putting you in the belly of a great fish and getting your attention to show you that there's a place that he has called you to be. And that's where you need to be. You can have all the plans in the world, but God's purpose is always going to trump that plan. If you want to stand with me to your feet this morning, I'd like for us all to come up around the altar if we can as I close this morning. The God of second chances. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. It's okay. There's nothing going to fall in here or anything. If you want to come in. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure why. It seems like we always pick a spot that we're afraid the devil's at or something there. We're like, it's all right. You can fill it in. Trust me, we had dirt compact and put under this concrete, it ain't going nowhere. greatest thing about this story, in my opinion, is in all of Jonah's rebellion, he didn't misunderstand God. He didn't misinterpret God. I'm not even sure how much he reasoned that this is not a good idea. The Bible leaves all that out. All I know is this. God gave him a specific command. And essentially Jonah said, nope. No, thank you. God gave Adam a specific command. Adam said, nope. No, thank you. That serpent told Eve that if I eat this, I'd be like you. That's what I want. That's my plan. So many times through Scripture, God says, do this. And we as humans go, no. I'm going this way. I hear you, God, but I think over here is better. I hear what you're saying, but that's really not what I had in mind. And I think God just chuckles, Jeffrey. God says, okay, we'll do it your way. You wake up one day in the belly of a great fish. And as gracious as God is, the word of the Lord will come to you again. How many of you ever found, listen, I'm not talking about totally backsliding or whatever, and I don't want to get into that theological debate. But how many of you ever been in a place where you wake up one morning and you go, man, I'm not exactly where God wants me to be. Come on. Don't be sanctified yet now. We'll reach that one day when we get to heaven. Until then, we got to struggle with that. I'm not exactly where God wants me to be. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you? God didn't scrap Jonah and go, well, I'll find somebody else. I'll leave him in the belly of that great fish. He worked on Jonah to get him to where he needed Jonah to be. What I'm telling you is, you may be running from God. You may be running from his presence. You may be trying to get out of this thing of doing anything. God, I'll go to church, but I don't want to be overly involved. Can I be honest with you? That's hard sometimes, because I tell you what, church ain't always easy. Church ain't always easy to be involved in. I told Josh and Kayla Friday, I said, listen, the church itself is a miracle. When you, especially a Pentecostal church, because they're passionate people. And you take a bunch of passionate people who get it in their mind that they got a certain way, then you throw money in the middle of it. Sometimes it can be drama. Sometimes it's not perfect. But you know what? God still uses the church. I got news for you. I don't care if you like the church or not. This is what we got, and this is what God's going to use. It's not perfect, but it's God's plan. It's his purpose. You can either be a part of it or not. But God's desire is for you to find your place. Get in with the vision. And watch it grow. Watch things happen for him. Not about your comfort. It's about your character, your calling. It's about God's plan. I wonder if we could raise our hands right where we're at this morning. Raise our hands as a surrender.